Hi, I'm Sharad Kutan, and welcome to Let's Talk, the show that tries to bring you the most important conversations in art, culture, and ideas. And today, I'm really happy to have with me two individuals involved in the production of this book, Paper and Text, The Trials and Trade of Malaysian Literature, William Tam and Fong Min Han, are both here, who contribute in different ways. And William contributed as the editor, and Min Han as an essay writer. Your essay was on what is Malaysian literature. But I'll get to you after I get to William. And I wanted to ask William, why did you think it would be valuable to put together these essays that really look at the trade and what's happening in Malaysia?
I think I have to start by giving a little bit of context as to how the book evolved in the first place. So this all started slightly over a year ago during the first MCO. So, because we were all working from home at that point in time, then it became a challenge for us, like figuring out how literature was supposed to keep moving on in this kind of environment. Because before this, the book trade itself, writer, and by extension, the writers, would depend on big name events such as, again, like the KL International Book Fair and that sort of thing to really move books along. Because the thing about literature is it doesn't exist as a transaction between the writer and the reader, even if that's how it's romanticized, even if it's how it looks like. It's how it's portrayed like in books, in film, different media. But in reality, there's this whole a deeper ecosystem that builds up around it. An ecosystem of publishers, distributors, translators, and of course the academics who then look into these sorts of things. So because the MCO was really hampering the way our usual work. So what I wanted to do was to put together a collection to look at the state of things as they were. But this wouldn't necessarily be sort of like a very topical report on, hey, this is how we're doing right now during this point in time. But rather I wanted to have to take a deeper look at how exactly these, different parts of the ecosystem actually interacted with each other and how they influenced, how they in turn influence each other.
Right. William, you work here at Gerard Budaya. We're staging this conversation here at the bookstore. What exactly is your role at Gerard Budaya?
So at the moment I'm the executive editor, which is a bit of a hodgepodge because that basically means doing whatever happens needs to be done at any point during the publications process. So that can include anything from, let's say, like a little bit of publicity at some point during the process, as well as the bulk of the editing that goes on.
Right, and so this is also something that's kind of unique about Malaysian bookstores, because often they don't just sell books, but they also are publishers themselves. Could you help us understand who you are? Gerard Budaya is a well-known name for book lovers in the country. What is it that you do, and how did you get involved in this?
Thanks, Sharad. I run Lit Books with my wife, and we started our bookshop. It's a retail bookshop about 3.5 years ago. And unlike most other bookshops in Malaysia, we do not have a publishing arm. Lit Books came about because my wife and I, we're big fans of independent bookshops. And when we came back to, whenever we travel, we always make independent bookshops a stop. And when we came back, we were quite... We thought that this would be quite a lovely thing to do, especially since we both hated our jobs at the time. And so we took the plunge and we started Lit Books about 3 years ago.
Right, okay, I want to ask you about this because there is a certain romance. I think there's a generation who grew up with these romantic notions of starting a bookstore themselves and so on and so forth. But there's also this... There's a real, it's almost like saying, oh, I'm going to get onto this train wreck, and we know it's going to come because very few people make money in this trade. It's such a difficult trade, and there's silos, linguistic silos, and so on and so forth. Weren't you terrified by this dream of yours?
Absolutely. In fact, I think my wife spent a better part of 2 years trying to dissuade me from this. But she either recognized my stubbornness, or I have no idea what why she finally gave in. But she said, "Okay, fine, go ahead and do it." And you're absolutely right. I mean, I was very well aware of the pitfalls of running a bookshop, and I was ready to shut shop if things didn't work out in 6 months. Thankfully, it seems to be working, and we're actually doing okay now.
Okay. So you're both deeply involved in the ecosystem, as you call it, William, of the book trade, you know, from the writers to the bookstores to the printers and so on and so forth. And there's a wonderful history here at Gaurav Budaya and SIRD, which we probably have to go into another day. So we want to return to this particular collection of essays. So when I look through it, and Minhan, you contributed an essay on Malaysian literature. William, tell us a little bit about the other contributors and what's in the book itself. And so when somebody picks this up and it's part of your essential series, what will they get?
Okay. So when I started out ideating the book in the first place, then I wanted to cover as much ground as possible. So that's why we have essays on translation. In this case, there's a piece by Dr. Lalita Sinha on the nuances of moving between the Malay language and the English language, and in which she analyzes two particular texts. The first one would probably be a very obvious choice, so Salina by A. Samad Said, and the other one would be a much older text, Sha'ir Siti Zubaidah Perang Cina. So again, it's a kind of the huge flowery, very beautiful original text, and how you preserve those kind of nuances moving forward. Then we had a piece by Dr. Alicia. So her work was actually on the Malay romance novel, because I mean there's always this stereotype that Malay language publishing and bookselling is dominated by the romance novels. So what she wanted to do was to go deeper into the reasons as to why this particular phenomenon took place and how it's shaped by, again, sort of like the larger social, cultural, and political situations that actually dictate the reasons for this. So it's actually quite fascinating for a relatively overlooked area, because I mean it always feels like a kind of like Mills and Boone kind of territory, and it doesn't seem worthy of critical attention for whatever that means, but actually it does allow you to have a much deeper look into the way things go. Besides that, we also have a look at the publishing trade from the perspective of from a publisher up in Penang. So there's Rosalind Chua from Clarity. What she particularly interested in is again like the interactions between the larger book publishing trade beyond Malaysia. So again, like how virtually like hegemonic publications, so like Penguin, for example, like how they operate, on what scale do they operate, and whether or not Malaysian literature can really like fit into their overarching purpose. Can what we do here, for lack of a better word, can it sell overseas, and that kind of thing. But I mean that also brings up a lot of the the old ideas of neocolonialism in that sense, I suppose. So again, more complex, deeper topics.
And there's one more essay, right? Language translation and Chinese Malaysian literature.
That one is one particularly interesting area. It's a very broad topic, so I'll speak fairly briefly on that. So that's by Shou Yingxin, who's now based at the Australian National University, and her work was based upon the struggles of writers writing in the Chinese language, but who saw themselves in this particular point in time as Malayans first, because this would have been during like the whole Malayan Spring period and what happened after, so like the May 13th, 1954 generation. So, and also I guess if you've read Han Suyin's And the Rain Might Drink, so you have a rough idea of the kind of atmosphere of this particular point in time. So that's what she looked into.
Okay, so that's a wonderful overview. Minhan, I mean, Why did you, as a book writer, there's so many questions that I see get thrown up here, including, you know, what will readers buy? You know, what will readers buy? And how do you shape a bookstore in order to attract them, right? But let's talk about your contribution to this book first, and we can get into that later. Why did you decide to do this look at the meaning of, is that, would I be correct? What is Malaysian literature? How do you define a national literature, as it were?
I think so. I don't think it's quite as luminous as the other essays in this collection. But in the 3.5 years that I've been a bookseller, and in my interactions with readers, with writers, with distributors, this phrase often gets thrown up. Malaysian literature, and it can used to be both very complimentarily or very pejoratively as well. With writers, for example, especially the more accomplished ones, they might say that this book is a good epitome, a good example of Malaysian literature, or this book isn't Malaysian literature enough, or not Malaysian enough, not written for Malaysians, written for Malaysians. And I think I just usually go with it and I say, okay, I think I agree with you. But then when a customer comes to my book and asks me for a book recommendation, I want something that really represents Malaysian literature, or what really is representative of Malaysia, I often find myself at a loss. Of course, I mean, I'm a professional, so I can usually reach out for something and say, yeah, this is Malaysia. It has everything you need in there. It's got teh tarik, it's got roti canai, or it's got Malaysia, Chinese, India. Go for it. But upon further reflection, I began to realize that my grasp on what Malaysian literature is was extremely numinous. I'm not really sure what it means for a piece of literature to qualify as Malaysian literature. Now, I don't want to deny the existence of Malaysian literature, but I think it's very problematic, especially the way that it's used. It's used as a political object to a certain extent, especially within the book trade itself. We have writers who poo-poo other writers because they're not writing Malaysian literature. We have people who are selling these books because it is Malaysian literature, or who refuse to sell it because it is not Malaysian literature. And so I decided to investigate or dig a bit deeper, at least from a layman's perspective, as to what this Malaysian literature could be, what this beast could be. And upon further reflection, I think I concluded that I'm not really sure.
Okay, so you give, that's a spoiler. Okay, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with more on this wonderful little book, Paper and Text, and here at the Gerak Budaya Bookstore in Petaling Jaya. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Let's Talk. I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, William Tam and Fong Min Han. And we're talking about this book, Paper and Text, recently published by Gerak Budaya. We're here at the Gerak Budaya Bookstore in Petaling Jaya. We ended on a very interesting note, because you said that you came to the conclusion you didn't really know what Malaysian literature is. And I must say, Min Han, I actually am myself, bewildered by this category, because it is linguistically so mixed, and then regionally all these also variants, and even with Chinese literature, and I've just learned over the last couple of years and working with the Georgetown Lit Fest of Mahua literature, which is essentially Malaysian stories but written in Mandarin, and that's such a fascinating stuff. And many of the writers come from East Malaysia, and Sarawak in particular, and what that's meant for global diasporic Chinese writing. So the Malaysian category is really a complex one. What do you hope, so when somebody picks up this book, right, and it might be almost like a specialist interest, and William, you can answer this later, you know, what do you hope they will get from that?
Well, and just to add to the confusion, I mean, let's not forget that I own an English bookstore, so all my books are written in English. And for most of our writers, for most Malaysian writers, writing in English is already at least one degree of separation away from who they are, because that's not their mother tongue. So that adds to the mix. Now, what I hope for people to get out of reading my essay is to, well, like it or not, I think that there does there is a certain kind of snobbishness, or there is a sort of attitude that comes along with a reader who wants to read only pure Malaysian literature, or if you are the sort of person who will measure qualitatively the value of a work based on whether it's Malaysian enough or not. And I think that that's to the detriment of Malaysian literature as a whole, because I think that there are many wonderful Malaysian writers out there who are not writing in what I would consider to be stereotypically within a Malaysian context. They're writing about matsales, oh my gosh. They're writing about science fiction and fantasy that exists in a made-up world. There's no reference to Asian spice, for example. Or they speak in perfect English rather than Manglish. See, but these writers, I think that they are as deserving of the accolade of Malaysian writer as much as anyone else. But because they don't write to that particular idea of what Malaysianness is, I think that they are dismissed out of hand by at least a certain segment of the readership. And I think that this is, I suppose, if I were to take this up a notch, it's actually a bit dangerous, because I think it's sort of a return to colonialism, but from the other direction. And I think as a local Malaysian bookshop, I really do want to stock as wide a range of Malaysian writers as I possibly can.
Right. So a kind of return to a kind of nativism, nationalism, that hasn't necessarily been great for us intellectually. But okay, but there are lots of provocative statements there. But William, I want to ask you about, again, coming back to the purpose of this book, right? What kind of conversation do you want it to spark, or did you think it would spark, and with whom?
Okay, so this would build on Min Han's answer just now. I suppose the biggest conversation I would like to see out of it would be, again, like a broader understanding, a broader appreciation for Malaysian literature for what it is. Because, I mean, we can define it in very rigid terms. I mean, if we follow, let's say, like the national culture policies definition, then it's also dependent on the language. So we have like Malaysian literature that's officially literature written in the Malay language, and then we've got the sectional literatures, so basically in other languages. I mean, it's all very artificial, but I mean, to be honest, given that Malaysia's, we're kind of like an, in many ways, we're an artificial nation ourselves. We're civic territorial, set up along civic territorial lines, borrowed from a British model, which is basically like grafted onto in the region where, I mean, all of this was all brought in. So I mean, the one thing we can do is, I suppose, embrace this, the peculiarness of the peculiarity of this entire region for what it is, taking into account the kind of voices that come out from. It's a bit of a mire right now, because we've got like stuff, there's all this stuff in it, basically. So now the thing is how you construct something from all of that, and the kind of stories that can be told in that respect.
Right. I mean, it's very interesting. I think the Saleh bin Junaid position, which is to say English is a Malaysian language, right? And for me, English is the first language. And so, you know, to the extent that I do write, I think I write in my native tongue. But there have been so many successes with Malaysian writers in recent years writing in English and writing about the local context. I'm thinking of Tash Au or Tan Tuan Eng, you know, and movies have been made of those books as well. And so there is, and I wonder if, you know, these moments excite Malaysians to write, because there's this other thing about the need for not just to be a bookstore, to be a conduit for things coming from outside, but as Gaurav Budaya does, is just constantly support the local system. What do you want to see happen, you know, in Malaysia that really could help the trade and the whole entire ecosystem?
You're absolutely right. I mean, there are wonderful Malaysian authors who have made it big internationally. You mentioned Tash, you mentioned Tuan Eng, and they are both wonderful writers. We've had them in our shop, and whenever they come, our shop is just completely filled out. We've got fans, we've got aspiring writers who just want to talk, just want 5 minutes of their time to learn more about the trade. And I think that that's wonderful. But of course, just to on the other side of the fence is that there is also a certain segment of the Malaysian literati who seem to think that this international success is actually a sort of a reinforcement of this notion of colonialism, that these writers, Malaysian writers who have made it big internationally, have only made it big internationally because they're writing to the white audience. I know it's a very unfair and cynical accusation, but those accusations have been made. It is floating out there. And I think I want Malaysians to be, and the thing is that I have actually experienced, or at least spoken with young Malaysian writers who want to stock their book at my shop, and they tell me that, look, is this book, and they'll ask me, what do you think, Minhan, is this book Malaysian enough? And it's like, I have no idea what that means. I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't know what Malaysianness means. What I can tell you is that this is a wonderful story. It's well written. It's got effort put into it. Fine, I'm stocking it. So I think what I would like to see is a more openness when it comes to the Malaysian book trade. I would like to see writers be given the support and be given the recognition universally, regardless of what the particular nature of their story is, or whether it fits that category or not. As William was saying, you know, we have that national culture policy, which provides very specific definition of what a Malaysian book should be. I think that is absolutely ridiculous. The moment you sort of pen in what literature is, I think you lose what literature can be.
That's very interesting. We are, of course, you know, now, I think this year would be the 50th anniversary of the National Cultural Policy, isn't it? And Swara, the magazine, you stock that because it's really quality writing in Bahasa Malaysia. They're going to be looking at this topic as well. William, I mean, as somebody in the book trade, it's interesting that you've brought out things that maybe it would float in a very limited circle, right, among academics, among people in the trade themselves, of which, I mean, there can't be more than a dozen of you. So trying to make this a broader conversation is very interesting. What's next for you in terms of this series, the Garap Budaya Essential series, and this kind of discourse? I mean, who, you know, and trying to excite people about thinking more deeply about something as marginal, it seems, as the book trade might be in Malaysia.
Honestly, this particular series is quite a bit of a fun project for us because it actually allows us to explore an incredible variety of topics. Because, well, admittedly, there's also the thing where, thicker books are harder to sell. They're more expensive to produce and they're not exactly portable. So we thought, okay, perhaps like something on a smaller format would be a nice way to go. And also it allows for a lot more latitude for a lot of writers who may not necessarily have the time to come up with something that's traditional book length, because I mean when it comes to, again, like an actual narrative, when it comes to the discussion of ideas, you shouldn't be bound by, again, like having to fit into a certain word count and that sort of thing, because I mean an idea expressed well doesn't necessarily need entire reams of paper just to get the message across. Honestly,
Tim Harper might disagree. His Underground Asia, I think, is 600 pages long.
I like Harper's writings. He's very good.
With him, it's worth the journey.
Yes.
Okay, Minhan, tell us. I mean, you know, in the last minute or so that we have, I know we're in Garap Budaya, but you also have your own bookstore. Where would you like? And you've already kind of said it, right? I mean, that people should have a much more expansive view of what Malaysian literature is. And ultimately, you know, you pick up a book because it's a good work, good ideas written well, right? That's the main, wherever it comes from in the world, right? Where next for you and your kind of efforts at LitBooks?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, unlike Garap Budaya, who has established itself as this leading icon of academic publishing and Malaysian publishing in the country, LitBooks is very much at its infancy. We are a general bookstore. I think we've never made any claims to any particular political affiliation or any sort of social cultural objectives per se. This is going to sound terribly boring, but our immediate priority is survive the pandemic. That's basically it for now. As for what's going to happen in the next few years to come, I think it really depends on where circumstances take us. Too hard for us to say anything, to foresee anything at the moment.
Right, okay. Thank you, gentlemen, for being on the show. It's been wonderful talking to you, and I hope we have many more of these conversations. And I look forward to more of these little books. And you're right, you know, it's almost the size of a hand phone. Mm-hmm. You could carry it around and read it. You don't have to read just your hand phone. Yeah. Thank you, guys. Again,
thanks for having us.
Okay, I've been speaking to William Tam of Gaurav Buddhaya and Fong Min Han of Lit Books. And we're talking about this little edition, Paper and Text. It's all about the trials and the trade of Malaysian literature, and maybe a bit about the tribulations too. That's all we have for you on this edition of Let's Talk. I'm Sharad Kutin, only for Astro Wani.